This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to an episode of the 99 Names. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and I have here with us, Ammar Al-Shukri.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome, everybody. Which camera should I look at? This one?
Why are you sounding like an old man who just...
Sorry.
let's
do this again.
I'm sorry.
I'm back. Okay. So today... This name, or now this video, our name is Al-Ali, and Al-A'la, and Al-Muta'al.
Oh, okay. Al-A'la.
Al-A'la.
Okay.
What was that?
I just did a Schwarzenegger. Al-A'la.
Sabbih isma rabbika al-A'la.
Al-A'la. And what was the last one?
Al-Muta'al.
Muta'al.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like it's incomplete.
Muta'al.
Yeah. Like, I'm expecting a few more syllables.
Oh, no. That's it. All three names go back to the root.
Like Al-Mutakabbir, right?
Oh, okay.
Right, this one, like Al-Muta'al.
Okay, got it. I see what you're saying. But these names all go to the root of Allah being high.
Okay.
Ali means high.
So if somebody's name is Ali, mean they're at a high stature.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know if we've had this discussion, but what names of Allah can a person have and what names of Allah can a person not have, right? Mm.
Okay. And we're talking like not even... So could somebody be Abdul Ali?
Yeah, of course. Abdul. If you put Abdul in front of any of the names of Allah, you're fine.
But I don't know. I've never heard of anyone named Abdul Ali.
That's true. I mean... I've never heard a person named Abdul Jalal al-Ikram either. But technically you can, right? Okay. A person can be Abd, any of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abdul Jabbar, Abdul Kareem, Abdul Sami, Abdul Ali, Abdul A'la, all of these names.
Okay.
But there are some names that a person can have and there are some names that a person cannot take on themselves. And by... And names that a person can have, I mean all of them without the Alif Lam.
Okay.
You cannot have a name without Alif Lam. No one can be Al Kareem. That's Allah.
Right.
But a person's name can be Kareem. And we've met Kareems before. Jameel, you've met Jameels before.
Yeah.
You
can't have somebody named Ilah.
No, you can't.
Okay.
And so you can't have a person's name be Allah.
Right.
Ar Rahman. These two in general, Allah and Rahman, are known to be forbidden.
Okay.
Allah, nobody calls themselves Allah.
But you do know people named Rahim.
Yes, because Allah describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself as being Rahim.
Okay.
He says, وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah okay. subhanahu... No, sorry. Allah says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has sent you a prophet from amongst yourselves, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ So Allah describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being Ra'uf and Rahim.
Is there... Now, we mentioned in a previous video how just as Allah has many names, the Prophet ﷺ has many names. Now, is there a list of names that kind of accompany both Rasulullah ﷺ and Allah?
So in these cases, these aren't names of the Prophet ﷺ.
These are descriptions?
These are descriptions.
Okay. So, but just as Allah has names and attributes, right? So I guess the question now is when is a name an attribute? When is it his name?
For who?
For Allah.
Okay, so now we're talking about when is a name an attribute and when is an attribute a name. Okay, so the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that come in name form.
Al.
Not just Al, but in Arabic, a name is denoted in a number of ways.
Okay.
بالجر والتنوين والنداء وأل ومسند للإسم تمييز حصل. بالجر, an ism can be known through jar.
Okay.
It has a kasra at the end of it. If it has a kasra on the end of it, then that's an indication of it being a name.
Okay.
Tanween, an, un, in.
Okay.
That is an indication of a name.
The tanween being the sukun.
Yeah.
Okay.
The un sound at the
okay.
end of it.
Got it.
So ammarun.
Okay.
Bilalun.
Yeah.
We can put that tanween at the end because we have names. These are names. These are asma.
Okay.
And I don't know if names is the best translation for asma. Maybe nouns, proper nouns, however isim is translated.
Okay.
But... why is that? Because not all of the names of Allah come in the al form.
Right.
So okay. For example, two names that we've already gone over, Jameel and Tayyib,
right.
are both come in the tanween form.
Okay.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for example, inna Allah ta'ala tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiban. And another he said, inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is jameel un. That un indicates that it is a name because it's the tanween. Okay. This is more controversial than the first one. The first one you'll generally get unanimous
so
about.
So if the name the tanween, but what do you call it when it has an L on it?
It just has an L.
Okay, so there's no term for it.
No.
Okay.
They'll say mu'arraf bil alif wal lam, that it has the alif and the lam in front of it. Okay.
It has a sentence.
Oh yeah. Then we have the third is bil jari wal tanween wal nida. So we just said jar, tanween, nida, ya.
Okay.
Because you only call out to a name.
Yeah.
And so of the names that is argued as a name because of that concept is Ya Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram.
Okay.
Because the Prophet ﷺ would call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying Ya Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram.
Okay.
And so, okay, Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram is a name. And so these are some of the different ways that a person can know if it is a name or not.
Okay.
An attribute will generally be something that is, you know, connected to something else.
Okay.
Like the face of Allah. So it's the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this brings me to the next question of, is there a list of names where you have that are attributes or names of Allah and also happen to be descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just listed two, bil mu'mineen ra'uf and rahim.
Yeah.
And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described as being ra'uf. And he's described as being Rahim.
Okay.
Is there like an entire list that somebody has listed?
I don't know. And the reason I'm coming to this is because I feel as though maybe somebody might be confused out of ignorance or not understanding, right? Confused, coming like, oh, so there's a divinity to Rasulullah.
No, there's not a divinity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But all of these attributes that we study, all of these names of Allah, the goal should be to come closer to these names because they are beautiful.
So it could be clear that the descriptions that Rasulullah ﷺ has that also happen to line up with the descriptions and names of Allah are also things that we should embody.
Yeah, it's not just the Prophet ﷺ.
Okay. So
because
it's an example
for us. These are all Asma'ul Husna. These are all beautiful, lofty names. In fact, there are very few names that we can go over that can be counted on your hands that are inappropriate when applied to creation.
Okay.
Like Al-Kabir. Or Al-Mutakabbir, to be more precise. Like Al-Jabbar. These are names that if a person has them, or a person has these qualities, it's not good.
They're
vile in human beings.
Okay.
But generally, everything else, these names are a way for you to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by trying to manifest these characteristics in yourself.
Okay.
And so Ibn al-Qayyim says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, he loves the knowledgeable.
Okay.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Rahman, he loves the merciful. Allah is al-Qawi, he loves the strong believer over the weak believer. Allah is al-Jameel, he loves those who beautify themselves. That's part of it. Every attribute that you look at, every name that you look at, you say, where's my share in this name? What have I gotten from this name? What have I adorned myself from the characteristics of this name? Now, with regards to Al-Ali and Al-Ali and Muta'al, or Al-Ali and Al-A'la and Muta'al, Al-Ali appears in the Quran in a number of verses, and of them is the great verse, Surah or Ayat Al-Kursi.
Okay.
At the end of Ayat Al-Kursi, Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. He is Al-Ali. So we're good to go on that end. It is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Al-Ali mean? Al-Ali means the high.
Okay.
The one who's above.
So he's the most. Al-Ali is the high. Al-A'la is the most high.
Al-A'la is the most high.
Okay.
And Al-A'la comes at the beginning of Surah Al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Verse number one. Sanctify or exalt the name of your Lord, the most high.
Okay.
So Allah is not just the high, but Allah is the most high. And then Al-Muta'al is the one who's higher than.
Okay. So that's why it sounds incomplete.
He's higher than everything, though. That's
okay.
The idea. He's higher than everything.
What's
else.
The word for everything in Arabic?
Kullu shay.
Al-Muta'ala kullu shay.
That's what you would describe that as. That.
Okay.
But it's just Al-Muta'al.
He's just like how you say Khayrul Raziqeen.
Just like Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir is the one who's greater than everything else.
Okay.
Right?
So,
you have Al-Muta'al, that same concept, that same prefix. Muta. Mutakabbir. Muta'al.
Okay.
Okay. Which basically means greater than everything else.
So Allah is the high, the most high, and higher than everything else.
Yes. And so immediately here, we recognize a number of things. Number one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high in and of himself, in his essence. All
right.
And our natural human beings, just naturally, they all recognize that God is above them.
Okay.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody points their hands downward when they pray. Everyone points their hands upward, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. We just have this concept innately in ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us. Now, what's interesting is that a lot of groups who, you know, had a real, issue with describing any sort of direction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's exactly what they felt. They felt like it was inappropriate to describe a direction to Allah, because then you're limiting him to a particular time, and not a particular time, but a particular place.
Space.
A particular space and direction. Although
he's independent of time and space.
And he's independent and all of that. But they said, you know what? If you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne, like he says, then what you are doing is you are making a direction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he becomes limited to, by that direction.
Would it be appropriate to say that the understanding of the Most High is not even just the sense of vertical space? Because at the end of the day, vertical space is contextual to a celestial body. Once you're out off a planet or off a moon or whatever, there is no up or down, right? So the reality then comes into is once you pull yourself out of the context of a celestial body, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest in terms of he's beyond, well, I don't want to say
he's beyond even that. Yeah. That's the whole point. I mean, but the whole idea of even
he's beyond
trying to exercise all of that. Right. And trying to, I remember once I was discussing this, and this is, you know, old theological debates.
Yeah.
However, it does manifest in today's time. People reject concepts from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and verses of the Quran, the meanings of them, at least they change the meanings of them just because they feel like they have to make sense of it.
Okay.
They have to make sense of it. And if they need to, and if they can't make sense of it, then we're just going to reject it. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says authentically, many, many, many companions narrated this.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you reject it. The lack of understanding is your own limitation.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah descends in the last third of every night.
Okay. So he said that.
Yes. And the idea why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us Allah descends, what is it? When you only descend from a place that's higher. Right?
Yeah.
And so Allah descends in the last third of every single night. And then he asks the famous questions, who is asking me that I may grant them, who is repenting to me that I may accept their repentance, who is seeking forgiveness from me that I may forgive them. But this particular person had told me, and they said, first of all, we can't accept that. Because if we did accept that, then that would indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have to squeeze in between the angels in the heavens. And that is a'udhu billah.
Wait, what?
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Exactly that. Like, who said, why did you start thinking like that? That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, the Prophet said Allah descends. How does he descend? I don't know.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly what Imam Malik said. Yeah. A famous, famous exchange.
Yeah.
You know Imam Malik. Imam Malik was like a king in his court, in his halakha.
I mean, his name was very exemplary of his characteristics.
He had such awe of him.
Okay.
When he would,
don't mess with him,
a person came to him and he said, "Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa."
Yeah.
"Kayf istawa?" He said, you know, Allah rose above the throne. How did he rise above the throne?
Okay.
He asked that to Imam Malik.
Yeah.
And so Imam Malik lowered his head and they could see the trace of anger on his face. And then he lifted his head and he said, "Al-istiwa ghayru majhul." He says, "Istiwa is not unknown. We know what the word means." Okay. Allah rose above the throne. "Wal-kayf ghayru ma'qul." And how is not comprehensible. "Wal-iman bihi wajib." Believing in it is obligatory. "Was-su'al anhu bid'ah." And asking about it is an innovation. And then because we just talked about who Imam Malik was, he says, "And I don't think... and I see you to be a person of innovation." And then he said, "Akhrijuhu anni." He said, "Get him out of here."
Okay.
And he was kicked out of the...
I'm wondering if I would get kicked out of Imam Malik.
Oh, man. First two minutes.
I keep coming back, though. They're like, "Yo, that guy, don't let him even come close to you."
First 2 minutes, man.
Because when you say that, to ask about it is an innovation, but what about the idea that Like, because obviously the way that that dude is asking is not in the most appropriate ways, right? If one wants to ask for the sake of learning, for the sake
But the idea is, and this is where Imam Malik is coming from.
Yeah.
The people who were the most interested in learning were the Sahaba.
Okay.
And they never asked these types of questions.
But there's a lot of things the Sahaba didn't ask because it just didn't cross their mind.
Because their objective was not to know how Allah did things.
Okay.
Their approach to it was, how does my knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does supposed to affect me? And so when Allah descends in the last third, what is that supposed to invoke in me? It's supposed to invoke me waking up in the last third to ask Allah. That's the approach.
Okay.
A man, and I'll give you an even better example or a clearer example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah laughs at the despair of his slaves, even though his help is so close.
Okay.
Like, Allah laughs at the your help is right around the corner. Like, it's about to be relieved. And you're so in that moment of brokenness and desperation.
Yeah.
The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah laughs at that. Mm. Now, our Imam Malik guy, that guy, he would have asked the question and said, how does Allah laugh? Like, how does he laugh, right? But that's not the question the Sahaba asked. They said, does our Lord laugh? Mm. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And then he said, if that's the case, then we will never stop expecting good from a Lord that laughs. The idea here is, this man, he said, does our Lord laugh? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And then he didn't say, how does he laugh? He said, if that's the case, then we will never stop expecting good from a Lord that laughs.
Oh yeah, that was the, I remember this one.
Yes. Basically saying, it's, things are always going to be okay for us. Why? Because our Lord laughs. You realize
it's like, you know, I think the best human analogy I can think of in our context today, it's like the difference between, I remember in a sales training, right? We were talking about how, like, you know, in talking with prospective customers, we're trying to sell them a product. We're selling telecom devices and services. And the whole thing is that, like, guys, stop trying to explain to the prospective customer how the technology works. They don't care. They just want to know that it's going to make their lives so much better. And I think that's the reality. It's just like, look, like, it's not about how the mechanics or whatever, but the reality is, it's more about, how is this going to make your connection and relationship with Allah better? How's it going to make your life better? How's it going
to
make
everything else? And there's an audacity to assuming that you can understand.
Yeah, true.
Even if you try. You're not going to be able to understand. And we as humans, we all understand our limitations in knowledge.
Yeah.
Every single one of us does. We appreciate that there are some things that we're really good at and some things that we might be brilliant at, and many other things that we're not good at all.
Okay.
And so to assume that you're going to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is incredibly arrogant. And Allah ta'ala knows best.